Fierce Femme Media.
Aaron, write it down.
I'm writing it down right now.
And that's your memorandum.
That was quite a lick for a pen. Jesus.
I'm making sure it's real wet.
But
it's a whack.
The wet ass.
Oh my god. Hey-o.
Oh, we're here all night, folks.
Things we say now.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the weekly wind down. I am Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
I'm Stacy, the new age old school mom.
I'm Stacy, the political princess.
I'm Erin, the geeky gal pal.
And Erin forgot what she was supposed to write down. Did you see the look on her face? Yeah. She was so into licking her pen that she's like, what am I writing down?
I didn't write it down, so I hope someone remembers it.
I do. I'll remember.
Aren't you supposed to take notes?
No, Stacy took that back because I sucked at it.
Good call.
Yeah, I was the worst.
Did
remember
she
that
take
one
it back or did you just not do it? So she was like, okay, fine, I'll do it.
Potato, potato. All
right. Gif, gif.
I mean, gif. It will forever be funny.
Okay, forever. Today I'm drinking beer, and it's made by Soma. It's called Hazy, and it's an India Pale Ale. And once again, we got suckered in by the marketing because it's fantastic. And it was on sale. So cute. I was like, no, give it a whirl. And it's very good. Very, very good.
Nice.
And the guy at the checkout counter was like, do you like this one? I said, I don't know. I haven't tried it yet, but I'm a sucker for marketing. And he was like, yeah, I really only like 805, which 805 is a local beer, but it's just very beer. Like there's nothing.
Pedestrian.
Yeah. And he was like, that's about all I can handle. I was like,
did you get his number?
What's his name? Jeff? That sounds like a Jeff answer.
I was like, sorry, okay, sis. Have a good day. Like, that was a very weird conversation to have.
Cool story, bro.
Yeah, cool story.
Do you like that? Because I don't.
Right? All right, good talk.
Quite the salesman.
Good talk, Mike. His name was Mike.
Of course it was.
Anyway.
Was his last name Hunt?
This is very good. It's, you know how some IPAs are like real overwhelming with hops? This one is not. It's really mild. It's very tasty. And it's 7%, which usually the 7% are like real.
Yeah. Yep. The heavy.
Yeah. 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 This one's not. It doesn't taste like oatmeal. So
I am drinking Da Vinci's Chianti, which I've never had before.
Oh, but fancy bitch.
It's, you know me. I don't go above like $13.
Oh man. Chianti always reminds me of Silence of the Lambs.
Me too. I walked in and I was like, a nice Chianti. Yeah. And I was like,
oh my God, can we stop for a second and just talk about Kai carrying the puppy around like a damn baby? Like that was horrible.
Right? His little paws were like, whoop. <across. Thank you.
laughs> Oh my gosh.
So how's the Chianti?
It's good. I like it. I recommend it.
You have to run that by Mike first. We'll see how he feels about it.
Yeah. He does not like it.
Have it with some fava beans.
Fetzer.
What is that? Franzia?
Franzia.
I only like Franzia. All right, Mike. You know Jesus, what? Pack up.
I bet him and I would get along because I do dig an Arbor Mist.
Wow. That's
disgusting. Yeah.
I'm just joking.
No, you're not.
Wow. I really am. I haven't had Arbor Mist in years. That's I had it when I was in college. I mean, that was a long fucking camp. Time ago. Yeah, right.
I never have. I don't.
I mean,
bougie ass. All right, what are you drinking?
Bougie.
I am having this Martini and Rossi. I know. No, wow. It's a sparkling rosé that I got in a birthday gift basket, and I've been really feeling mimosas recently, so I have a little mimosa happening, and you can't do a mimosa with a sparkling rosé all the time, so I always like taste it and make sure it's like not sweet, and like that it'll go well in a mimosa, and this one's delightful.
She's legit like the fanciest person I know. Yeah.
No, I've just been craving citrus. I have like scurvy or something. I don't know. Really wanted orange juice, and I was like, I can't not drink. They're gonna make fun of me.
Aaron,
probably. So I am not drinking Arbor Mist. Tito's today.
You got Arbor Mist. No. Boone's Farm.
No, I'm no.
Hypnotic.
Yeah.
You got some. You got some green apple flavored Tucker.
Yeah, I was just gonna say after green apple Tucker. Yeah. Aftershock. Oh, that takes me back. Did you call me dog?
Mad Dog 2020.
Oh, I thought you said yeah, dog. I was like, yeah. I am actually drinking Sauvignon Blanc tonight. It's called Cursive. Oh. I don't know. I enjoyed the label. I thought it was pretty.
The shape of your name.
It's pretty.
It's Marlboro from Marlboro, New Zealand, and I love it so far. It's delicious.
I like the label. Dry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the label's really pretty. And I love I actually, you know where I got it? We had Amazon deliver yesterday and I just was like, throw that bottle of wine in. Barkeep.
Put it on my tab.
Put it on my tab.
Okay. So Ari sent us a message and she said, I need to know what everyone's favorite songs are from Evermore. Did you guys stay up and listen? I need to know everything. For reference, my favorite is Coney Island. Aaron, I'm going to let you start.
Okay. So my favorite, my absolute
get your
favorite.
Notes out. Get your notes
Ivy.
Out. Yeah.
Oh, I did take notes on this. No, I did. My very favorite is Ivy. I love it. Love it. Love it. And my second favorite is Evermore. And then I just love the rest of the album. There's not a single song on it that I do not like. I like every song. I haven't skipped a single song once. So I love it. And we did stay up last night. I am very tired and I probably sound a little like a raving lunatic. So I'm sorry, but I am thoroughly, thoroughly, thoroughly impressed with Taylor Swift. She does not disappoint, and I am just so very happy that I decided to hop on the Swiftie ride and become one, because I am so happy. It's amazing how the release of an album can like take you to another level, and it totally did. I'm just absolutely in love with it. I don't know if I like it more than Folklore, but I definitely like it as much.
Well, we'll check the receipts, because according to your text message earlier, you said that it might be better than Folklore, so.
It might be, but I don't think it is. I think right now it's.
You got to let it marinate for a little bit.
Yes, you know what? It's got to stand the test of time. If I'm still listening to it nonstop in a month.
Yeah.
There you go.
Stacey.
There you go.
Oh, I don't know. Evermore for sure is like number one top of the list for me. Like, I think that's the best song on there. I'm obsessed with it. Other than that, I don't know. I feel like it changes every hour because it's so new still. So like this morning, No Body, No Crime was like number one on the list for me. Like, it just gives me such good, like, Goodbye Earl.
Yes.
Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia, like fancy vibes that I'm super, super into it. Also Dorothea, I think it's so good. So, so good. Champagne Problems is still on the top of my list too. I just really, really like that song. So all of them favorite, but like Evermore is very good.
I think it's just so different.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's just so different. I love how it like picks up the tempo, like, and then Bon Iver's voice, I just can't handle it.
His
range is like insane, from Exile where he was like, blah, 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 and now he's like.
Yeah. I still love Marjorie too. And I could only listen to it like one time today, because I was just going to have like a full emotional breakdown but that song is beautiful, and the lyric video with all like the pictures and videos of her grandma is just like,
I was just gonna say, if you're gonna watch any lyric video, watch the Marjorie one, because it's such like a look into Taylor's life with her grandma, you could tell that they had a really close relationship, and it was very sweet. And her grandmother does the backup vocals for it. I mean, she's since passed, but she was a singer also. So they took pre-recorded music and put it in the background of that song,
and it's amazing.
Yeah. So mine changes every hour. First, yes, we had Aaron, Stacy, and I sat on Zoom and watched every single lyric video and the release of Willow, which our best single. Yeah, wasn't impressed.
Willow's not my favorite.
Yeah.
But I like it.
Yeah,
I don't skip it.
Yeah.
I don't skip it. Yeah.
Yeah, but it was, mine changes every hour, kind of depending on my mood. Right now, I'm really into Tis the Damn Season.
Oh, yeah, that one,
yes.
Too.
Yeah.
That was so good.
I wasn't a huge fan of it to begin with, but now that I've listened to it, like, all day while I've worked, Gold Rush is really up there for me. It started as Ivy just because I really like the whole, like, goddamn, like,
it
was just well-placed, and cussing isn't always well-placed in music, and she does it very, very well. Evermore is a good, I mean, they're all really good, but I think the one that,
And Closure.
Closure.
Yeah.
Oh, Closure.
Closure was very good. Oh, overall, I wouldn't say, everyone keeps comparing it to Folklore. I did too yesterday, but it is just like the opposite side of it. So she had said that she wrote Folklore as more of like a spring and summer, and this is more of a fall and winter. So although like the vibe of Folklore is still there, it's just a different feeling altogether. So I know it's natural to compare them because they're like 5 months apart or whatever. And they were clearly all written at the same time and with the same people. And, you know, but it was a peek inside her mind is always, it's always a fun thing to do because she's an incredible lyricist. And I'm a big fan of the album. I'm a big fan of it. I like the direction she's heading with her career now, and her voice gets better and her lyric writing gets better. And I'm super excited that she's only going to be 31. And like, we still have a lifetime of Taylor Swift music to listen to. Cause it would be really bum me out if she was like Dolly Parton's age. So
I think what absolutely floors me about her, and I know I said this to you guys yesterday, and I'm sure I said it on Twitter, but you know, I just, the amount of creativity that is coursing through her at any given moment during a fucking pandemic where like some of the most creative minds couldn't scrape together two sticks to build a fire, let alone, you know, compile a bunch of words into a sentence to make a paragraph to write a book. I'm speaking about myself. I'm not the most creative, but I seriously wish I could have written more during all of this. And she's just out there cranking out songs, writing the lyrics, you know, just putting down the music, you know, whatever. Just, you know, not up to much, whatever her fucking
not a whole lot going
said.
On at the moment.
Yeah, not a whole lot going on, you know. Sure. Like, I'm just absolutely floored by her. And I know there's a lot of stuff going on. Like, well, she's got the money to be able to do that. And it is her job too, though. And, you know, I mean, a lot of people couldn't get through their day-to-day lives because of depression and anything else. And she kind of harnessed any sort of depression she may or may not have had and was like, fuck you, I'm going to make this work for me. And it worked for her and for us, thank God. So,
Stace, you haven't listened to it yet, right?
No.
Oh my gosh.
So good.
I don't know how you do that.
I'm still not like super into Folklore yet. Like, it comes on when I play my iTunes and I'm like, oh yeah. And then I end up skipping some of them because they're sad. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't want to like blow past it and just get the new one and like forget it existed. You see what I did there? But like, I haven't gotten into it yet. So that's why.
Okay. So Megan said, how are these states suing? Is it just because Trump lost? I don't understand what's going on. Can you explain it to me in terms I can understand? Well, Megan, I've got good news for you. It doesn't matter anymore because the Supreme Court said, no, knock it off, Texas. You have no standing. We're not going to hear it. And so it doesn't matter. But Yes. Yep. That's essentially what was happening. A bunch of Republicans. So Texas sued the swing states that voted, ended up going to Biden, pretty much because they were mad that they didn't go to Trump. I mean, that's the long and short of it. I'm not trying to be flippant with it, but that is really kind of what happened. They couldn't believe that all of the swing states essentially went blue instead of just, I think they expected to pick up more red states than what they did. So in their head, then that has to, something had to have gone awry, even though keep in mind, a lot of these states still retained Republican senators and Republican House members and local offices. The thing that kind of blew my mind about it was they were essentially saying, if you threw out those ballots, you would throw out local elections, local amendments, local provisions. Like, it's not like you can just throw out the presidential portion of it. Like, it would have thrown everything into chaos. Like, it's just, they're a bunch of fucking red snowflakes. And I was a little bit concerned when it was going to the Supreme Court, just because three of the people who sit on it are obviously Trump appointees, but I don't think anyone wants to be written in the history books as single-handedly dismantling the democratic system in the United States. And that's what essentially would have happened. So it doesn't matter. Don't worry about it. I personally think this is all just a ploy to raise more money, because Trump has been sucking on the teat of the American people for 4 years now, and that's about to dry up. So he's amassed about $200 million in the process of this to fight all of this voter fraud and alleged voter fraud. I know you guys can't see me, but I put air quotes in. And he's going to continue pushing it because he's trying to milk his followers for every damn dime they're worth before he leaves office. Because let's not forget, he's also like $460 million in debt to foreign entities that he's going to have to pay back. And
I don't know why he needs all these donations. He's a billionaire.
He also is on the precipice of being indicted for about 21 criminal charges at the Southern District of New York the day after Biden's sworn into office. So he's facing a lot more than just, oh, I lost, even though that's what it seems like to his followers. Like, he's going to be in a shitload of trouble. And whether or not he finds a way to pardon himself, the rules of that still aren't clear, because we haven't approached something like this in our history. No one's ever tried before. Even if he pardons himself, those pardons are for federal crimes, not state crimes. So he still has to face the music in the Southern District of New York. So he could pardon himself all fucking day, and Letitia Jones is still going to light him up. So
yeah, baby.
I don't know about you guys, but are you guys planning on taking Inauguration Day off?
Fuck yes.
I wasn't, but what a great idea.
Do it. Okay, here's the plan, right? You take off Inauguration Day, and it's just like bottomless mimosas, inauguration.
Bloody Marys.
Yeah. We could record some reactions, make a little inauguration episode.
I am.
Everybody,
so
take
excited.
Off Inauguration Day.
Done.
Yeah.
Done.
Tell your friends.
Celebrate with us.
Honestly, though, I think like it's just gonna be. I mean, let. I mean,
day.
God, the weight that lifted the moment we all saw it come on CNN that Biden was called as the president-elect. Like the weight. Like imagine the weight that's gonna lift the minute Inauguration Day happens. Like. Oh my God, it gives me chills.
Do you guys have anything to add about the state suing, or?
I mean, they've thrown everything out. It's all bullshit. Yeah. There's no real evidence.
Right. Yeah. I just think it's so freaking hilarious too, how like Trump supporters can't imagine that Republicans didn't vote for him. Like legit true Republicans that have not drank the Kool-Aid don't like Trump. They don't like him. So of course they didn't vote for him. So of course he didn't win. Like it's just so fucking stupid. And these people are like, there's no way, there had to have been voter fraud, or people don't like him.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, or he's done a shitty job over the last 4 years. Like, people didn't want to renew their lease on
him. I truly believe had Trump handled COVID differently, he would have been reelected. I 100% agree with you. It's so difficult to unseat a sitting president. Like something catastrophic has to happen during their first term for people not to give them another 4 years. And I truly believe had he approached it differently, Joe Biden would not be president-elect. I mean, I'm glad he is, obviously.
But it would have gone differently. like, it's crazy how much money they've wasted.
Oh, just
on these lawsuits. Wasted. Yeah. It's wild to me.
It's like literally setting money on fire.
When you have people that don't know where they're going to live, can't feed their families, like it's bananas. And mm-hmm. I also want to tell everyone, there are going to be some faithless electors. Like, you are going to see a few people that are supposed mm-hmm. to vote for Biden when the Electoral College actually takes its stand that are not going to. This happens. Do not freak out. Yep. It happened when in the 2016 election.
There's no path to victory right. for
there's
him
not going
to
be enough that
so
are going to change.
It's fine.
So yeah, don't start yeah. freaking out when you see electors start saying that they're going to tip their votes. Some will. It happens every single time, but it's not going to be enough to make up the difference. So we have enough to stress about in 2020. Don't make that one of the, this was the last avenue that I was genuinely like concerned about, and it didn't come to fruition. So, hey, Beth says 2020 sucks. I've lost my job because of COVID. Luckily, my wife is still working. We're bringing in just enough money to keep a roof over our head and our twin 4-year-olds fed. The problem is they're still asking for a lot of gifts from Santa this Christmas. We obviously don't have the money to do what we've done in the past. How should I explain this to them, especially as it relates to Santa? I don't want to bog them down with more depression or adult problems, but if I don't think of something, they're going to be even more disappointed Christmas morning. I don't know what to do. Thanks for making me laugh every week. You all are one of the few bright spots in my week, and we need that right now. I'm going to let Stacy answer this one first.
That's a hard one. I feel like at 4, like they're going to enjoy opening gifts, and it's kind of like regardless of what they are. I mean, of course, they like getting presents, and they probably have their lists to Santa. But if you can go to like the dollar store or Goodwill or somewhere where you can find even new stuff at Goodwill to wrap and have them open, even if it's like pajamas because they need new pajamas. Kids at that age, I feel like, just really like opening presents. But if it's really, really hard up, you know, if you're really struggling to keep the lights on, there's a lot of places that will do donations and will adopt a family. And maybe you should reach out to one of them if it's, you know, if you feel like it's that bad. If it's not, I feel like kids just like opening stuff, you know, go to the dollar store and get, even if it's some of their regular stuff, they're going to love opening toothpaste because it's from Santa, you know? So that's my advice.
Yeah. I think however you can make it fun, like at 4, you have no concept of like material things. Like they don't understand, you know, if something's expensive or not expensive. So yeah, like Stacy said, it just, you know, sometimes with younger kids, quantity is better than quality.
It's unfortunately. True.
And they might be, you know, they're young enough too that just making it more fun might distract from the fact that maybe quantity wise there's not as much as there normally is. So trying to plan some sort of like excursion or something, so maybe the gifts are from Santa but your gift as a family is you're gonna, you know, I don't know what's open in your area, but you know, if you can go to the beach or if you can go for a hike or if you can go for a picnic, like a fun picnic where you have Christmassy things and hot chocolate and, you know, things like that that might be a little bit more doable. Like Stacy said, the, you know, you can get so many good like toys and books, especially from Goodwill, that you can mm-hmm. get pretty inexpensive. Books are a really great gift for kids that age. So even try your library. I know our like friends at the library says they're sells their books for like a donation. So look at that, but also look on Facebook, like Facebook Marketplace. I feel like there's so many people that are, you know, getting rid of things, and usually the stuff they're getting rid of on there for really, really decent prices, or it's still in super good condition because mm-hmm. of how quickly kids grow out of things.
Yeah.
So those are good options too. But I think what you can do if you do want to have some sort of honesty about it is that, you know, there's, you know, lots of people are really suffering. So maybe you guys can do something where everybody makes a list of, you know, things that they're happy to have at Christmas time or activities that they want to do together or just something like that, that takes the pressure off of like those material things and back onto like spending time with family. So maybe you guys have like a movie night or make a list of, you know, 5 different movies you're going to watch during the holidays and spend time together. I don't know, just make it fun. And I think they won't even notice.
Yeah, especially with Marketplace, you can tell the kids, we need to gather up all the toys you don't play with anymore, and they need to go to kids that, you know, like, need these toys because they're younger than you guys and you've outgrown them, and then you can list them on Marketplace for cheap and then use that money and roll that into, you know, if you have to buy some stuff from the department store that's a little bit more pricey.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And I know lots of parents, too, that are like, they like to do a toy purge before the holidays anyways, because they know they're going to get a bunch of stuff. So all the stuff, like you've said, that you've outgrown and, you know, that aren't really age appropriate anymore, selling some of those things. And, you know, that seems like a really good plan.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I also think too, I don't know how much this might work for you, but one of the things that I always remember when I was a kid, and we weren't struggling for money, but I never got a lot of gifts as a kid. My mom just wasn't a big, huge gift giver. She had me read the Polar Express when I was really young, and then I got a bell one year. So, like, I thought that bell was from Santa, and that was, like, the best gift I ever got. So, I mean, there's definitely things that you can do for your kids that are small for you, but mean the world for them.
Yeah.
I just think about the Polar Express every Christmas now because of that. And even though my mom's no longer with me, I still read it and cry and all that good stuff. So, but I'm just saying, like, I think it's definitely, there are ways around, not having the financial, not being able to afford everything. There's ways around it. And when you are able to afford stuff, maybe you can do like a Christmas in July, you know, or something like that. Like, oh, Santa stopped by while you guys were asleep to bring you this because he forgot it in December. You know, there's other things that can also happen that I think are, you know, that can make your kids feel even more special.
Yeah. I know some families do the, like, something to read, something to wear, something to eat, something to share, or something like that, where it's like, or something to watch, something to share, I think, so that you get a book, pajamas, a movie, and then, like, a toy. Yeah, something you want, so, you know, but you could, like, kind of teach your kids, like, that now, and then, like, that's going to help you in later years, too, if they know that they're going to get, like, the five presents, and it's, like, something I need, which is, like, cartoon toothpaste, you know, and then something to wear is usually pajamas, and then something to read, which totally Goodwill is amazing for books, like Stacey said, and then, like, they get their one toy that you might have to go out and spend actual money on that's, like, a little bit bigger, but then it's, they get used to that, and they don't expect a ton of stuff from Santa too.
Right.
The only other thing I would add, and it's all, you guys have great ideas, is kids are real famous for, like, handing out coupons for, like, Mother's Day and stuff. And you can do that for them too, like, where they get to pick what they want for dinner. And if they say they want pancakes, that's what you make them. Or, you know, you can give them one that they get to stay up a half an hour late or whatever. You can give them a little coupon book of stuff that they can actually.
That's cute. I like that.
Yeah. Stuff that's out of their norm, which would probably mean an awful lot to them, or you could hide them around the house like Santa did. Mm-hmm. And if you want to be a little bit more honest with your kids, you could also explain to them too. It's been a hard year for a lot of people, and Santa has to spend more of his time and give more things to other families that don't necessarily aren't lucky enough to still be in their house or whatever. It all depends on how you want to approach it, but there's so many things that you can give them that don't relate to actually having to buy them stuff, and that may be super different for them, but like Stacey said, that four, they're just going to be stoked to open stuff. Right. They're not asking for PS5s or you know, whatever
and,
it is.
And if you're worried about them being disappointed, wrap things in boxes that are a little bigger than they need. Wrap lots of things individually.
Yep.
Just so it seems like a little bit more.
Yeah.
It reminds me of that. Was that a TikTok or a Vine where the kid unwraps the avocado? He's like, an avocado!
He was so excited. Thank you for my avocado. Right?
The other thing we're going to do, Beth, is I want you to reach or send me another message on Facebook the same way you contacted me, and send me your address, because we're going to send you something too. So go ahead and send it to me and we'll get it in the mail for you. Okay. So what's everyone obsessed with this week?
Okay, everybody knows mine. We got a puppy, which was like a big surprise. I couldn't say it out loud last time, so they had to say it for me. But we picked him up, and it's a little 5-pound mini Australian Shepherd. His name is River Bear. So he's real sweet. So far, he's been sleeping a lot and being really cute and cuddly, but he did get out of his pen because we underestimated, like, how much he could, you know, maneuver. And so we set up like a little playpen, and we just kind of like pushed the door part against the wall, and we're like, it's good, he's sleeping anyway. So he got out in the middle of the night and like peed and pooped on the floor and like ran amok in the middle of the night and then crashed. So little shit. So we're gonna actually close the playpen tonight so that he can't do that.
That's how Piper wound up in one with a roof.
Yeah, we're gonna like have to get like actual kennel and then have the playpen for when he's just hanging out in the living room with the door open. But it's been fun. It was a surprise.
So cute. Mostly
he's real cute, mostly for my 13-year-old because she is the animal lover in the house and she's been wanting a dog for a while, and now she has a new little best friend for Christmas. So it's been fun.
That's so cute.
Yeah,
I can't handle how cute it is.
Well, I know you're going to already talk about the thing I'm obsessed with probably. And we talked about it a little more, which was Evermore. So I will talk about Grey's Anatomy because holy shit, if you don't watch Grey's Anatomy, and I don't understand that, but if you don't, this season is like so good. It's very, very heavily focused on COVID. And I think really doing really, really doing a good job telling the story of like frontline healthcare workers during this, and just every episode, these doctors and nurses are so beat down, and not in a way that's like, I don't know, that could be overwhelming as like a viewer, but in a way that's like, man, that's gotta be rough. Like just the constant like losing patients and, you know, and how hard that is and stuff. But last night's episode in particular, where one of the doctors loses a family member to COVID, and it's so, so sad. But at the end, Dr. Bailey, it's one of her family members, and so she says her name, and then it like goes black, and then it cuts to just this screen of names of people that have died of COVID.
Oh,
and
wow.
It's like scrolling down at the same time that the camera's like panning out, and it's just more and more names and names and names. And it was like so powerful. So powerful with her talking about, you know, she wasn't just a woman, she wasn't just a patient, she wasn't just a person with Alzheimer's, she wasn't just a person with COVID, like she was a person, and that matters, and not just a statistic. And not, and the way they're addressing how it's like definitely affecting like the African American community a ton, and they address that, the fact that like they don't want to hear it being, you know, blamed on pre-existing conditions when those conditions are man-made. Like when you have people living in areas that are super, super densely populated, and you know how it all kind of contributes to that. So it was just like, it was such a powerful episode, and it was so, so sad, but not just because of the character death, but like because of what it represents, and just having to see, you know, loved ones not be there, you know. And it just was, and the amount of care, I think, of, or I guess the immense burden that must hang really heavily on those healthcare workers that have to take on the responsibility of being the only person there to comfort somebody when their family can't be. Oh, it was so good. It was so good. I was like literally sobbing. And then I got on our watch party for Evermore, and I was like a absolute mess.
Those visual representations, like they kind of gut punch you. Cause I was doom scrolling through Twitter before we knew Evermore was coming out, and I was obsessed with politics. And one of the pictures that really got me was a doctor had posted the like hundreds of iPads they had set up on stands for their end of life patients. Mm-hmm. Because their families wouldn't be able to see them. And I just always flash to like my 2-year-old being stuck in a hospital room where I can't, like, I can't, it's crazy. It's absolutely bonkers. Like how this is all panning out. Cause it didn't have to be this way. It just didn't.
Yeah.
It could have, we would have always gone through closures and stuff, but we could have handled it better. Like, it, if everyone would have been wearing masks from the beginning and like doing all the things they were supposed to, we could still be out doing things and being around people, because everyone would be like following other countries.
Yeah. Yes. Or even now wearing masks. I can't believe the amount of people I still see out with no masks on, not wearing them properly, taking them off. Like, it's mind boggling to me. Yeah. You know, playgrounds reopened and everybody's posting pictures of their kids at the playground with no masks on. Like, oh my God. Like, people are legitimately dying. And
I just don't understand why people don't get that. Like, these are actual human beings, and not all of them are super sick before they get COVID. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the thing that I hate when people are like, oh, well, but they probably had to. No.
Well,
like,
and not, that's why I thought this was like an important storyline too, because the family member that gets sick, besides having Alzheimer's, like, she doesn't have any, like, physically she's very healthy until she gets COVID. And I think that's like, that's the thing, right? Either you don't know somebody who it's affected to that level where they've gotten that sick, or you know somebody who's had it and they're like, oh, it's fine, it was just like a cold. Like, well, that's great for you, mm-hmm. but there's millions of other people right. who that's not what it was for them, and they're gonna right. have, you know, I just feel like the show's doing a great job of addressing, like, yeah, even people who have symptoms that aren't awful that wind up in an ICU, they could still have lasting effects right. for their yep. entire life. They're right. they're seeing an increase in strokes and all kinds of stuff. And it's like, I don't know. I just thought
erectile dysfunction. Tell your friends.
Yeah. right. I just feel like the way they're handling it is really good. Every episode so far this season has been absolutely wonderful.
Well, and then you look
at required viewing,
like Rudy yeah. Giuliani, who he got such a rare treatment that they actually lottery it off in different hospitals because the ingredients or the makeup of these medications is so difficult to get their hands on. And fucking Rudy Giuliani, who has taken zero precautions and zero right. effort to protect himself mm-hmm. and total just blatant disregard for people around him, they get to walk out of there with one of these super fixer
yeah. medical
cocktails to save him from it. And even people who are taking precautions, it's not 100%. Ellen DeGeneres just got COVID. Mm-hmm. And you know that she's taking it, regardless of your feelings about Ellen and what happened with her staff, like, whatever. Like, it was pretty clear that she was taking pretty stringent precautions. Like, the people in her audience were on video, like, for every third seat. And, you know, like, she interviewed a ton of guests on camera, and they were clearly separated by, like, 12 feet, and she mm-hmm. still got it. So even the people who are taking the precautions, it doesn't always matter. It's just... God, I don't know why we have to keep talking. Like, I don't know why we have to keep saying this over and over again. It's so yeah. frustrating.
I don't either. I didn't bring it up last week because I didn't want to spoil it, because last week was like a big, like, shocker, you know, thing. But so Meredith has COVID, and so she's in the hospital and she's sleeping all the time, always, because COVID. And so, you know, the first week on, you know, she's sleeping and she's having this dream and she sees Derek, and that was like a big, like, gut punch, because everybody misses him so much, and it's this huge, you know, huge thing. And then last week George appeared, and everybody like lost their mind on the beach, and it was just the sweetest conversation. And she's like, why are you older? And he's like, because it's not real. Like, I don't know, because you're imagining you're older, I don't know. But he talks about his mom, and I was like, that was the one person where I was like, I'm so glad they showed him, because I feel like of all the deaths on Grey's Anatomy, like, George is one of the ones where I feel like you didn't get any closure.
Yeah.
And, oh, it was so good. And
he I was wondering how they were going to make him older. When they said that he was going to make a cameo, I was like, yeah. wait, he obviously looks much older.
Right.
So that's interesting how they did that.
Yeah. And they referenced it, which I thought was good, but he talks about his mom. And he's like, you know, I'm around her a lot. And, you know, like, she's just broken. Like, she's broken since I died. And it was just like,
oh my God.
Oh, what a gut punch. But, you know, the fact that he's rough. Still there and watching her. And, oh my God. No, but it's so good, because then, like, when people are at her bedside talking to her, like, she's imagining them in her dreams. So, like, at the end, it's like her and George sitting on this log. And then, And then the chief and Bailey are sitting on either side of them. And it's just like the sweetest thing. But like, I don't know, just the way they handle grief and loss and, you know, all of those things. Like, it just, it all sounds like such a downer, but there's also still like really funny things that are happening, you know, yeah, during the season. And there's some levity and stuff, which I think is good. It's
well,
needed.
Shonda Rhimes is just a fucking genius. So like,
so good.
I think in order to handle anything to do with COVID and frontline workers is I think you have to have that element of they're all human. And there's always going to be a moment when a person breaks down or when there's a moment of laughter where they find yeah, something to laugh about. And because, you know, heaven forbid, you know, nurses laugh about something, you know what I mean? Right. Like, so I think that's probably why it's like resonating so much because it's real.
Well, they
like,
have so many real healthcare
workers. It's as real
workers,
as it can
like,
be. Yeah.
That are on staff. Like the woman who plays Boki is she's a real surgical nurse. She's been in the cast since the first season. Like they have consulting physicians. They have all of these people that are involved. I mean, look at even what they did in the beginning of all of this, where they took all of their prop, like PPE and everything, and donated it. Like,
so cool.
I just feel like they've done a ton, and I think it's important. It's an important story to tell right now.
This is off topic, but it's COVID related. We kind of like had a little laugh yesterday. We were doing the puppies shots, and it's now added into the puppy shots is Corona vaccine. And we were like, hey, aww, why is the dog getting a Corona vaccine before us?
So what funny. Happened here?
That's great though, because, you know, they can carry it on them, which yeah, it doesn't affect them the same way it affects humans. It's the same way dogs can carry strep throat and they're not mm-hmm, sick, but they can give mm-hmm, it to family members. Like, right, that's yeah, awesome.
It says like on the package, it says, and for your peace of mind now with coronavirus. And I was like, for my peace of mind, because a lot of people think like Stacey's animals can carry coronavirus. I know. Yeah. So I did it a little bit just to see what happens.
Kai, get in there. We'll give it to Kai and see what happens.
Everything's fine except he grew a tail.
For your peace of mind now with coronavirus attached or whatever. And I was like, oh, that's kind of weird.
That's cool though.
That's funny.
I am obsessed with a couple things. Well, obviously Evermore. I am obsessed with, I've been doing a lot of research for this book that Jackie and I are starting together. And, it's interesting. A lot of the research that I'm doing, that we're doing together, actually, I mean, she kind of spearheads it. And then I'm like, I should probably read about this because Jackie's, you know, fucking smart as fuck. And I'm like, dur, dur, dur. But it's interesting. A lot of the stuff that we're kind of delving into. So I've been, kind of reading a lot about that. But the other thing is that, Euphoria, released, like, they're not doing a whole season. They're just doing two episodes right now.
Oh, what?
So, yeah, like, so Rue's episode premiered, I think, last week. Well, I just finally watched it because I knew I was going to need to be in, like, a frame of mind because I don't know if anybody watched it last season, but last season, like, it ends with her, like, not going with Jules. Jules is the chick that she's, like, in love with, and Jules runs away with someone else, and she tells her to come with, tells Rue to come with, and Rue's like, I'm not going to go. Well, this is like what has happened since then, sort of. And it's not like, it's not a very action-packed episode. And in fact, I was like, this is it. This is what this episode's going to be. It ended up being like insanely intense. And I was so impressed. Like Zendaya, she deserves every fucking award. Like I'm so happy she got the Emmy. Like she is such a great actress. Like, I am so impressed with her. Like, and in this episode, it's just her and her, Ali, her sponsor for NA. And it's just them really, like the entire episode, there's like 3 minutes. That's not them. And it is seriously like, it's intense. It's so intense. It's such great conversation. And it's so much, you get to see inside an addict's mind in a way that I don't think any other shows really have done. And it's sad, it's heartbreaking, but it's also enlightening. And absolutely love this show. Like, I just think it's just such an important show. But to see this episode in particular, like, and it's supposed to take place like on Christmas Eve, and it just, it really just kind of made me very happy that I have the support system that I have, because in this particular circumstance, Rue doesn't really have a support system because of the way that she's made it. Like, not because she doesn't, not because people don't want to support her, but because she doesn't want the support. Right. And I think a lot of,
I was just going to ask, it's been a really long time since I watched it, but isn't that one of the reasons she doesn't go with Jules? Because she's afraid she's going to like relapse.
And... Right. Yeah. And like, you know, I'm not going to spoil it for anybody, but it's like the whole idea behind it is like addicts think they're a piece of shit. So why should they change?
Yeah.
Like,
or and why does anybody care about me?
Right. Yeah. Like it's not necessarily that they are a piece of shit or that they were born a piece of shit. It's that drugs have made them this way, and drugs change them, fundamentally change them as a human being. And being and having this addiction, this sickness is really why they become who they are at, you know, at whatever stage they are when they're in their full blown addiction stage. And it's just a really good show. It is a very good show. It's so real and so like gut punch that it's hard to watch. But this particular episode, I'm really happy I watched. I'm really, really happy. Obviously I'm still watching the 100, and I'm finally on season 7 of the West Wing, and I'm just, I got a lot going on. All right.
I'll go back and do season 7 again.
Oh, okay. It's coming off of Netflix on December 24th on Christmas Eve, but it's going to HBO Max.
Okay. I have that. Yeah. But I also like, I have the DVD box set.
I know. Like, I have all the way up to 5. So I'm like, I can just watch. I mean, although I have really loved 5 and 6. I didn't like, remember when we were first talking about it, Stacey, and we were like, you were like, I don't know. And I was like, I didn't watch 5, 6, and 7. So
everything, like once the campaign starts up, that's where it like picks back up for me again.
Right.
Like, everything sort of post like the 5 bombing in Gaza.
Yeah.
Everything after that, like after Donna's recuperation through like when the campaign starts, to me is a little boring.
Well, I just, the five when Bartlett steps down and does the 25th Amendment.
Oh, like, so that, good.
It's so good, but it was so much anxiety, and it was right before the election that I was watching it. I was like, I can't watch the show anymore. I gotta take a break. I was like dreaming about it, and it was just awful. But
you have to imagine, like, this is why I always say, like, oh, I just like to pretend the West Wing is real instead of what we have, because brief recap on that storyline, like, vice president resigns, okay? They don't have a new vice president yet. The president's daughter gets kidnapped. And in order to like, and it's like a government thing and with like enemies and whatever. So in order for there to be like somebody level headed in charge of the country, he invokes the 25th Amendment and steps down, which means the Republican Speaker of the House is the new president until like
and it's
the
president's John ready Goodman. To
come. And it's John Goodman. But it's like nice. That amount of service, like, country over literally everything else, to say like, I'm gonna put this Republican in charge so I can deal with my family stuff and not be making decisions based on like my own personal situation. Like, that's the kind of leadership we need.
But it's so funny, the difference between the Democrats
Bartlett
and
Republicans. Bartlett for American. Right. I'm just Bartlett for America all the time. I
know, right?
I'm but surprised, like, nobody's watching the new Big Mouth.
Well, I am.
I'm about halfway through.
But I'm not obsessed with it yet.
You gotta keep watching. It's pretty
good. I can't be, because I have the 100, Jackie, I love you, and the West Wing, Stacey, I love
I will
you.
Say, like, I just love Tito the anxiety mosquito.
I mean, right? Like, we both have him hardcore.
Yeah.
Her.
Oh my God, if you guys could have watched Aaron and Stacey watch the Folklore videos last night, they were in tears, and I was just like, should we skip this? Like, I don't know what's happening.
No.
Right now. I'm so not the one to be like, come here and let me hug you. I'm just like, they're there. What's
okay?
Yeah. With the broom.
Yeah. Don't be cry.
I'm obsessed with two things this week. Obviously, Evermore, which we've already talked about. You know what? People used to make fun of me for being like such like a Taylor Swift super fan, and now that I'm like on the precipice of turning 40, I don't fucking care. Like,
did anybody really make fun of you?
Yeah.
Really?
Like, oh my God, that's the most surprising
thing. How fucking old are we? Jesus Christ.
That's the most surprising thing I've ever heard. Like, Taylor Swift sings for teenagers. And I don't think that's true. Like, yes.
Not anymore, especially.
After her younger work, 100%, because she was, in fact, a teenager. But anyway,
right.
I've just, like, reached the point where I'm like, I don't fucking care. If you don't see the beauty in Taylor Swift's, like, music, fucking whatever.
That's your fucking loss.
You do you.
Yeah.
The second thing I'm obsessed with, and I'm unfortunately going to bring it back to politics for a minute because it's just, I have to say it. I'm obsessed with Gavin Newsom this week. And the reason, let me be clear. I am not always on board with Gavin Newsom. I think
I am.
I know you are. But he does some things sometimes for me that I'm like, yeah, it's kind of sketchy. I don't think he's perfect. I think he sometimes has questionable dealings with like the PPP loans and stuff. Like, but that's not what I want to talk about. California is made up, and I'm bringing this up because we have thousands of listeners in California. California is made up. We have the same population of about 21 states. Okay. So what he has to take on to deal with this pandemic is astronomical. And to protect 30 million people, it's not a one-size-fits-all solution. And unfortunately, he's forced to find a one-size-fits-all solution because there's a person testing positive for COVID every 4 seconds. Okay, that, can you imagine being responsible for 30 million people when every 4 seconds someone is testing positive and our ICUs are at like 95% capacity across the state? So this whole idea that he's prioritizing his Democratic agenda over small businesses is fucking asinine. Mm-hmm. And instead of calling him a fascist and a socialist, we should really be talking about why the only entity that is in the position to help us, which is the federal government, isn't fucking helping us and is prioritizing economic stability over the lives of their citizens. And the just absolute denigration of the job he's doing when all he's trying to do is keep everyone safe in the most sweeping ways possible is fucking asinine. Because I would challenge you to say, what would you do differently? Because he has asked, please wear a mask when you go do these things, and people refuse. He has asked, please don't eat inside if you're going to eat at a restaurant, and people refuse. He has requested that people do all of these things, and people fucking ignored him. So he was put in a position where he had to make these decisions because no one was fucking paying attention to him. So, and maybe it's because I work for a public entity and I work in local government. I've kind of landed, and I would feel this way if he was a Republican. I've kind of landed on, what else did you expect him to do? Like, right, honestly, what else did you expect? If California were to be overrun with COVID, completely overrun, do you know what that would mean for the rest of the country? California supplies 80% of this country's fruits and vegetables. If our supply chain here collapses, the rest of the country will be in a really, really shitty position. We have the sixth largest economy in the world. If it collapses, do you know what that means for states like Kentucky and Alabama and Mississippi, where we are a donor state that supplies them with medical coverage with our money? Like, I don't think people understand the weight that is on the shoulders of one person to keep this state running. And you don't have to want to vote for him again. You don't have to support all of his ideas. You don't have to support him. But look at how else would you handle this situation? Like, how there's nothing else to do but then to try and shut it down to give our healthcare workers a fucking break, man. These people have been working 20 hours a day for 9 months. They have watched thousands of people die. They have given up weekends, holidays, vacations. They've given up everything to try to keep people alive. And we have some assholes that are still wandering around bitching about not being able to get their hair cut without a mask on. And I just, number one, it's insulting. Number two, it's ridiculous. And number three, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, I mean that sincerely. What the fuck is wrong with you? Because if you'd all just done what he asked from the get-go, we wouldn't be in this position now. And
agreed. And the people that think that he's trying to tank the economy,
What good does that do him? It doesn't do him any good.
How?
Yeah. And we have like there's like this guy who lives in our area who thinks he's really fucking famous. Let me tell you what he's famous for. He's famous, so-called famous, for playing for the 49ers and then the Raiders, which, let's be honest, that's a whole other thing. I'm like, he wouldn't play for the Raiders, but whatever. And now he's moving to Texas along with Elon Musk, which, by the way, bye. He's moving to Texas because he's tired of the COVID restrictions. And I would just like to tell him, who clearly does not listen to us, do you understand what a fucking place of privilege you can say that from? That because you don't like having to wear a mask, you can up and move your family when you're selling your property for $5 million and just move to Texas? Not everyone is in that position, and it's because of egotistical, narcissistic assholes like you who haven't wanted to follow the rules that we have people that don't know how they're going to keep a roof over their heads or how they're going to feed their family or where their next paycheck is coming from. And I mean this with all sincerity, fuck you. Like, fuck you. You are what's wrong with this country. And if we all can't get on board and we can't protect each other and we can't protect our most vulnerable and we can't protect the people we don't even know are vulnerable because they don't know about pre-existing conditions that COVID is going to affect, then who the fuck are we? That's all I have to say about it. I'm off my little soapbox.
I didn't mean to laugh.
Gavin Newsom alone. Leave him alone. He's doing the best he can.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's beautiful. What?
Who said that?
Not us.
Nope.
I think he's beautiful.
We closed our schools again. My kids are back at 100%.
So you're back at 100% online?
Yep.
Good. How do you feel about that?
I had actually already pulled my kids out, so I don't care. But at the same time, I called this morning and explained why my kids were not at school the last 2 days. It was like an hour later we got the phone call that they put us back to 100% distance learning. So I was like, yeah, sweet.
Yeah.
We had done it anyway.
Meanwhile, in Florida, and literally, there are no restrictions. Like, our governor has basically said he will not impose a ban on anything. Like, basically, you can do whatever the fuck you want. We're open. We're open for business here in Florida.
Why we can't have nice things.
Uh-huh. Yeah, this is why we can't have nice things. You want to know why we're different than Australia? Florida. That's why we're not the same as Australia. Fucking Florida.
100%. Literally, if you guys want a saw Bugs Bunny style, I will not be offended. I won't.
We got to get you out first.
I'll just send me a lifeboat. I'll be fine. I'm fucking socially distancing myself. I don't do shit. I come home. I wear a mask. I have so much fucking hand sanitizer. I don't even know what to do with it all. And I'm just like, you
don't
know
drink
what?
It.
You know what? Trump said I could. Trump said I could. It smells like vodka. I'm just saying.
They do in jail. It's a fun little high.
Yeah, right? Like, orange is the new black, baby. But seriously, like, Florida is so frustrating because a couple things. Like, at this point, we've had over 10,000 cases almost every single day for, like, months. Like, it does not faze me now. Like, when I see 10,000 cases, I'm like, meh, okay. Like, and it's sad. That is so fucking sad. Like, we've become complacent here because it's like, it doesn't matter. And in my personal opinion, which really doesn't mean fucking shit.
Wait, you or the geeky gal pal?
Oh my God, I was just going to say that.
You know what? As much as I hate you both for being like, oh my God, I'm going to say it's Aaron, geeky gal pal.
All right, fair enough.
I think it is the middle of the state, which is chock full of anti-maskers, wild anti-maskers roaming free. And they don't give a fuck because they all voted for Trump. Yeah, they all voted for Trump.
It's a herd.
It is free range going across
Florida.
Free range anti-maskers who don't give a fuck about anybody but themselves and their guns. They all want to keep their masks off because they can't breathe while they're chain smoking cigarettes all day long. Like, at this point, that is the problem in Florida. That and DeSantis. Fuck DeSantis. I hope, you know what? DeSantis, if you're listening, fuck you. Fuck all the way off, as Jackie would say, all the way off.
Like, take several seats.
Take several seats and fuck all the way off.
And then go and pick up those seats and sit in them again.
And sit in them twice. Like, I don't stand up, sit down again. Like, goddamn, he's a fucking prick. He is a goddamn cabbage. I hate him. He's a bag of hair. I just wish someone could fucking just get.
I thought cabbage was my favorite, and then you just said bag of hair.
I just hate him. I just hate him. And when he gets up and starts talking, I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like, if a pizza talked.
Don't bring pizza into it.
Yeah, so what pizza ever do to you?
You remember, did you guys ever see Spaceballs?
Yes.
Yeah. Remember Pizza the Hut?
Yeah.
That's fucking DeSantis right there. Pizza the Hut. Like, he's just a fucking asshole. He just really is. And then, like, that whole story about that chick.
Whose house got raided?
Right.
Yeah.
And she's tracking the actual COVID cases.
Right. Yeah,
after, like, they fired her for not following DeSantis's orders and changing the numbers, right, and making it not look as bad.
And he quote unquote knows nothing about it. Well, yeah, because you know nothing about anything, you fucking bag of hair. I hate him.
I don't know
if I like cabbage or bag of hair more. It's like a toss up.
Absolute fucking potato.
Like, in my mind, like, I feel like it's really shitty to call him a potato because I love potatoes. Like, I love mashed potatoes,
me
like french fries. Like, I love potatoes in any shape and form.
But no one really likes cabbage. I also got me
a loaf of bread today, and I was like, that is the perfect.
He does look like a loaf, that's all loaf
he
is. Of bread.
He looks like a loaf of bread on the floor. That's all he is.
I love it. Oh, my God. Yeah. Fuck DeSantis. He's a cabbage / bag of hair, and feel free to.
Well, and
that.
Like, we're all fucking tired of it. We're all tired of it. Everyone's tired of COVID. Everyone's tired of being locked up. Everyone's tired of being stuck inside. Everyone's tired of it.
Right? Do you think we were happy we had to cancel Cabo? Do you think we were fucking happy about that, motherfuckers? No.
But it is.
Although it would have been real nice to listen to the Evermore release in Cabo, is all I'm saying.
Yeah. As the waves wash onto the shore.
Yeah. It would have been glorious.
Cries five ever.
What does that even mean?
It means I'm crying forever.
Longer than forever. Five ever.
Oh, five ever. Oh, okay. Is that what the kids are saying these days?
Yeah.
No, they said it like a while ago.
You got to get on. You got to get on TikTok, Jackie.
I feel like it's like,
I will not get on TikTok. Why do I need to get on TikTok when all of you send me all of the best of TikTok?
Yeah, we do.
That's
yeah,
true.
I don't need to peruse it myself. You guys send me the best.
Stace, whatever happened with your merman? Your sexy merman?
Continue
to go viral?
Look at me. I wish I knew how to make money off that shit. I'm up to like almost 500,000 views.
I'm telling you right now, you devote that TikTok page to River Bear and you will go viral in a hot minute. You have sponsors.
I might have to post some puppy videos to get it up again, because it was like all these people. I got like, I don't even, 1,000 followers something within like 2 days, and I was like, oh my god, I gotta post cool content.
A lot of pressure. Like, yeah,
I got nothing.
And now you got the
I
puppy
have nothing to
the
post.
Pigs.
Yeah, now
you,
I have a puppy.
When you posted the video, the security video of the pigs, that was like my fucking that favorite.
Yeah, that my security camera caught my freaking pigs going for a walk.
I was like, that is quality content.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I think that's it for us this week, guys. Stay home. I would tell you to have fun, but there's only so much you can
and
do at your house.
If you're going out, wear a goddamn mask over your nose and your mouth.
Yeah.
Oh, and your mouth. I've been doing it wrong this whole
time. That's what it is.
Oh my god, I was wearing them like a bikini. That's why.
Just on your titties?
One on each.
One on each. Was that wrong?
Yeah. Have a good weekend, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Mom.